This morning, I'm going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. If you'd like to turn over there with me this morning. Talking about this morning, a gospel encounter at a well. A well is a place where somebody ought to be able to go and get a drink, right? A drink of water. And you know how it is to be just incredibly thirsty, right? I mean, all of us have, right? We just thirsty. Sometimes we might be working and doing around and we're thirstier than we thought we were. For the past couple of days, I've been helping my daughter move into a new house, and I think I've about decided that I'm getting too old for that. That there's younger men that I could hire maybe to do that next time. Working with doing all that stuff and my clothes were soaked with sweat, and I made the mistake of sitting down on one of her living room pieces of furniture, and I just stayed there for a second, but it left an imprint of myself on the chair. So anyway, I said, oh, it'll dry up. That's what guys say. Oh, it'll dry up. Don't worry about it. But I was drinking water throughout the day, the time we were working. But when we finally sat down to dinner, I just gulped down a glass of iced tea, just like it was nothing, and needed more. Just very thirsty. Well, the water and the tea, that took care of my thirst, but it came back, and it'll come back again and again. Thirsty. And I can get more water when it comes back, or something like that. But when it comes to the thirst of my soul, there's only one way to quench that thirst, and His name is Jesus. I mean, His name is Jesus. All of us are thirsty, and Jesus can quench our thirst. I'm telling you, He can. Let's consider for a few moments this encounter that Jesus had as He was traveling. There was this woman at a well. You're familiar with this story probably. To get to that place though, Jesus, the Bible said earlier in the chapter, said He had to go through Samaria. The King James Version said He must needs go through Samaria. In other words, He had to. It's what we get from that. Well, Jesus didn't have to go through Samaria, because He could have been like all of the other Jews. They went around Samaria because they just didn't like to be around the folks that were in Samaria. They didn't like the Samaritans. They considered the Samaritans as half-breeds and outcasts and so forth, and shunned them, turned their noses up at them. And they'd rather go miles out of the way to keep from having to go through Samaria. But not Jesus, because Jesus had a mission on His mind, because He knew that there was going to be a woman at a well in Samaria that He would meet there that needed to hear about Him. She needed to hear how she could really get a drink of water. So let's begin there at verse 7. It says, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to Him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. The woman said to Him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well's deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, and so did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Well, she kind of misunderstood there a little bit. We thought she might have been getting it, but she's thinking of something else. We'll see that in just a moment. But what happened here was Jesus exposed her thirst. He used a common, ordinary, earthly thing to help her understand a spiritual reality. You see, he asked her for a drink. Well, that shocked her because a Jewish man would never ask a Samaritan woman for anything, much less talk to a Samaritan at all. Jesus then tells her that he was there to give her living water, water which you'll never get thirsty again. And she says, "Where do you get this water?" That would be our question, wouldn't it? It should have been. Where do I get this water where I won't be thirsty again? Wouldn't that be great? That would be fantastic. But then Jesus points to the well and he reminds her that anyone who drinks of that water is going to get thirsty again. But the living water that I have will quench someone's thirst forever. Every man and woman is thirsty. Jesus offers water that will quench our thirst forever. But men and women will try everything else in this world to try to quench their thirst without drinking the living water that Jesus has. They'll go and buy some new gadget that will distract them for a while. Others will try food and drink or alcohol or some other drug to try and quench the thirst that inside that everyone has. Even King Solomon back in the Old Testament, he wrote about his attempts to fulfill his life, laughter, food, drink, building enormous and glamorous buildings, gold and silver. He had a harem full of concubines to fulfill his sexual fantasies, and he became famous, you know, for his wisdom and his knowledge. But after he tried all of that, we find in Ecclesiastes 2:11, he said this, "Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and striving after the wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun." Now, there was a man who had everything. How many times have we thought, if I just had a little bit more, or if I just had this or that, or this person would change, or this would be different somehow, that if it just could be a little bit more, then I would be satisfied. We've thought that, haven't we? Getting back to our story, farther down in John 4 that we didn't read, Jesus cuts to the heart of this woman's search for happiness, and he asks her a question that really probably put her on the spot. He said, "Go call your husband. Go call your husband." In other words, go get your husband and bring him here where you're at. And she said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, "You're right. You don't have a husband." He said, "You've had five husbands, and now you have a boyfriend." Well, she had tried to quench her thirst in all of these different relationships, moving from one bed to another and one bad relationship to another, trying to quench that thirst that she had, and it just wasn't getting the job done. Her thirst was never quenched. Because of our sin, each one of us, like this woman, is thirsting for something, some experience, some person, some position, just a little bit more. Jesus offers her what she needs. He offers her living water. Living water. The woman asked Jesus, "Where do I find this living water?" All of us have asked that question, whether we verbalized it or just thought it up in our minds. Your life, my life, and everyone in Lexington, Mississippi, in this county, this state, everyone has been in pursuit of something that satisfies our thirst. Where do you find living water? That's what she was wondering. Where do you find living water that would quench our thirst and forever satisfy us? Well, the answer to that question is Jesus, right? Jesus is the answer. He is. And so what we need to do is abandon our attempts to find satisfaction on our own and just simply turn to Jesus. That's right. But you know, the more I think about it, the more I'm persuaded that for most, turning to Jesus is just too simple. Don't you think that's the problem most of the time? It's just too simple. We're convinced that we should be able to do it on our own, right? We should be able to take care of our own things and make ourselves happy. If we're going to be satisfied, then we'll have to get it on our own. We think that we know what's best for us. You know, people say that all the time. I know what's best for me. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to run my life. I know how to take care of my business. I don't need Jesus. I can handle it on my own. So we just keep going to the well, filling our jars every day like this woman did, and never satisfied, rather than just turn to Jesus, the living water that satisfies your thirst. You know, I remember in my younger days, I kind of did those kind of things too. Of course, you know, a young man, most of us in our 20s, this was me anyway, I wanted to keep on climbing up the ladder, you know. I was, most of y'all know, in the jewelry business, started out with my uncle as a repairman. He taught me how to fix jewelry, how to fix Timex watches. Boy, you're going to make a lot of money doing that. So I spent my high school years with him, and then Susie and I got married, and then I found a better position in Memphis, Tennessee. So we moved down there, and during that time at that company, went from the repairman to the shop manager. It's exactly what I wanted to do, because I wanted to make more money so I can have more things. That's the thing to do, right? And so that was what I strove for. And then later on, promoted up into the merchandise area as a jewelry buyer. And man, things are going great. I'm on the right track. And then guess what? The company was sold, and I lost my job with about 50 other people. Because that thing don't have any feet under it, does it? We've got to have Jesus. And once we learn, and once I learned that I needed to drink of the living water that Jesus had, the living water is what satisfied me. And then after I became satisfied with Him, He took care of all the other things, right? It's amazing how that happens. You and I encounter people every day that are thirsty, and they're worn out trying to quench their thirst with everything else except Jesus. They just keep walking out to the well of the world, keep drinking the water of pleasure and food and drink and work and accomplishments and relationships, and they're still thirsty after all of that. It's never enough, never satisfied, tired and thirsty when it's Jesus. When it's Jesus that has everything that's needed to satisfy. He called it living water, water that's alive and fulfilling. If you have it today, give somebody else a drink of it, right? And then notice that Jesus promises her lasting satisfaction. Here's the picture that Jesus paints. Every man and woman is in a desperate life and death situation. Spiritually speaking, we're like travelers lost in the desert of sin and death, and we need help. The only hope for that life is living water. We try to find it in this person or that activity or that good work or some religious system, hoping to find a solution. Sometimes it seems like we found it, and then we get thirsty again and realize we didn't have it at all. That we hadn't, we haven't arrived. People try to find a solution for their thirst and everything except God. In fact, it is a sin to pursue happiness in something other than God, true happiness. Now look closely at Jesus' promise to this woman. If she'll turn to Him and take one sip of that living water, her thirst will be quenched forever. Now you know what the living water is that I'm talking about this morning, don't you? When He invited her to taste the living water, what He was inviting her to do was to trust Him as Lord and Savior of her life. And that's what He asks us today. Trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's where you're going to find fulfillment and satisfaction, and everything that you need is right there. But notice the promise continues. Not only is her thirst quenched, but she will have continuing access to this living water. Jesus said in verse 14 that the living water would be like a well springing up within her. She'd never be desperate again. Once we turn to Jesus and discover in Him the fulfilling, satisfying source of spiritual nourishment, we can drink again and again. The spring always flows. The water always satisfies. I found out that whenever life got a little bit tough, and it does get tough, doesn't it? And it's going to get tough again, I'm sorry to have to tell you, in case you didn't realize that. It's going to get tough again. And you know what? That living water, I'm talking about Jesus. When life gets tough, Jesus can pick us back up and put us on our feet again, on the solid rock, help keep us going. I don't know what anybody does without Jesus, I'm telling you. I would hate to think where my life would be without Jesus. Amen? Pastor John Piper said, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Isn't that great? God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And we demonstrate how worthy Christ is when we reject earthly empty pleasures and embrace Him in everything that we need. A Christian who doesn't seek satisfaction in money, vacation, leisure, health, or a good job, but seeks Jesus instead, makes a statement of how valuable Jesus is to him, really. Right? But a Christian who constantly, and I'm talking about folks that have drank from the living water and then forgot where the well was at. A Christian who constantly drinks from the pleasures of this world is calling Jesus a liar, because he comes to that woman standing by the well and contradicts the offer of Jesus, like saying, oh, don't listen to him. His water doesn't really satisfy. Those Christians down there, they don't really have it together. Well, they're right about that, aren't they? We don't really have it all together, but we know where the well is at, don't we? We know how to come back to the well. Only Jesus can quench your thirst. He really can. Only Jesus can quench your thirst. So this morning, if you haven't taken the first drink of living water, in other words, come to Jesus Christ, just confessing that you can't do it without Him, confessing your sins to Him. Don't think you don't have any sins. You do. And ask Him to come into your life and save you. Give your heart to Jesus today. He's the one, right? He is. If you've already done that, but you have kind of lost sight of the well, then why not come back and be refreshed, right? Be refreshed again. Know where the well is at. The well is where Jesus is at. He's the one to reinvigorate your Christian life. So let's do that today. Amen? Let's stand together and go to Him in prayer. Father God, I pray that Your Word penetrated our hearts today. Help us to look at ourselves. Have we trusted Jesus as our Savior today? Have we really ever trusted Jesus? And Father, I pray that if there's someone here today that has not trusted Jesus, that they will take a bold step for You and come down where I'm going to be standing in just a moment. Take me by the hand and tell me that they're trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior today. Father, I pray that if there's those among us today that already have made a decision for You, maybe years ago, but we need to come back and get things right, I pray that we'd make a bold step and come down this morning and rededicate our lives to You. Father, will You take control of this invitation time in Jesus' name? Amen.
Of invitation is hymn number 325.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to ransom my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
We ought not to be at church and the Lord deal with us and us not do business with God, right? And I pray today that you've done that. If God spoke to you, I tell you, you know, sometimes it takes some rough times on us to realize how good God is. And He's reminded me of that lately, just how good God is and how good He is to me. I can't do it without Him. And I want to always have sight of the well. I always want to have sight of the where Jesus is at. I tell you one thing's for sure, I couldn't stand up here every week and do what I do without Jesus. This family reunion that, not family, class reunion I went to about a month ago, and you know, they wanted me to get up and say a prayer before the food thing, and some of them said, man, I didn't know you could do that. Because see, they remember me back in high school days when I was as shy and as backward and doing everything else. you know, at that time, that's what they remembered. And but you know what? I can say that Christ is what made the difference. He's the one who made the difference. Robert, they're coming after you again, bud. If you run out the back door, here's the keys to my. There you go. Take off. They won't recognize you. All right. Y'all have a good afternoon, okay? We're dismissed.